Something worms up my nose, tickles my throat, and wriggles deep into my chest. I retch. A wet filament snakes up my cheek and into my nostril. At my touch, it twitches like a worm skewered by a fish hook. I yank it out, and it rakes my throat all the way up. Gagging, I sit up and focus through watering eyes. This isn't the summer cottage. My mind is numb and detached. And that's not a plastic tube. I had one shoved up my nose in a children's hospital once when I got sick enough that I couldn't eat, and I've never forgotten the burn of it coming out or the rash from the tape on my cheek. What I'm grasping is different. It's an uneven diameter and covered in mucus. Looks like a tree root crossed with a tapeworm. As I hold it at arm's length, long feathery antennae, tentacles, stretch toward my face like a hairy plant reaching for the sun. I yelp and hurl it against the wall. It sticks there like cooked spaghetti. "Morning, sunshine," a young woman's voice says. "I'd leave the ones in your leg alone if I were you." That's when I feel the odd sensation below my knee. Maggots fluttering beneath my skin. I tear off the blanket and reveal my bare legs. The left one is swollen, white and rubbery. And, oh God, it's anchored to the bed, not with straps. Delving deep into every laceration are countless, bloated, root things. They whip at my fingers as I pull them out of my wounds, impossibly long, slick with my blood, and scrabbling for purchase. "Hey, stop," the girl says, but I don't. The pain is unbelievable, but panic is stronger. As I rip out the squirming things one after another, an odd certainty grips me. If I let go, they'll burrow as deep as they can go. As soon as I've torn enough of them out to allow movement, I twist off the mattress and hit the floor hard, a wheezing mess of blood-flecked blankets and hiccuping cries. Retreating, I bump into a warm body. "Easy," a girl in a leather jacket grips my shoulder, and I flinch at her touch. She's sitting on the floor beside her mattress. "Just breathe," she says. My gaze stays pinned to the network of fibrous, bloody strands puddling beyond our feet, writhing and balling up at their ends, thickening into a lumpy cable that disappears through a port in a plexiglass wall.